Father in heaven, we thank you again for the services, for the songs, for the people that are here. We pray now that you'd give us that power that only God can give. Lord, as I know in my heart, I submit to the Holy Spirit as near as I know how. I realize my inability to do anything by myself just can't be done. And yet, I believe with all my heart, when we surrender ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, Lord, you can use us in ways that we can never dream could be used. Now use today as we look at this subject about dads, and Lord, to use God our Heavenly Father as the pattern. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible and be turning right this moment, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6. And, of course, again, we want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day today. Think about so many times how Father's Day started many years ago. You see a lot of things that happens. I read where there was a dad's son came to him and said, "Dad, I need to talk to you." And he said, "Okay, son, what is he like?" "No." And he said, "Dad," and taking science, he said, "I got somehow I can't understand. What is a light year in science?" And Dad said, "Oh, that's easy, son." He said, "If you just think, you could get that answer." He said, "Well, what is a light year in science then, Dad?" And Dad said, "Well, a light year is 1/3 less calories than in a regular year." Well, we think we have all the answers sometimes, don't we? I read where another young fella was, his dad, you know, dads do like to talk to years ago. The older you get, the more you want to talk about the early days. And I don't know if you're that way, but I'm that way. And it's not that I can't remember much in between. I remember the early days. And I believe the reason is once you get a certain age, you lose capacity to do a lot of things. And you think when you had that energy and the power to do it. And I'll leave it that anyhow. But this dad was talking about, he said, "Son, I'm going to tell you, back for automobiles. I mean, look, you go to school now, you ride a school bus. I want you to know back for automobiles was I." He said, "I got up and I had to get up to go to school and I had to walk 10 miles to go to school." And he said, "I had to walk in 6 foot of snow." And he said, "Well, Dad, I'm sorry you had to do that." And then he said, "When I got 16 year old, I got to thinking, Dad, did you really mean that when you had to walk 10 miles in 6 foot of snow?" And he said, "I sure did." He said, "That bothers me." He said, "Dad, how could you do that? You're only 5 foot high." Well, Dad's to elaborate sometime. But Father's Day is an unusual day. Some people think that Father's Day started because manufacturers wanted to give Father's Day cards. But that's not it at all. The Father's Day that Mrs. John B. Dobbs of Washington State first proposed the idea of Father's Day in 1909. Mrs. Dobbs wanted a special day to honor her father, William Smart. Mrs. Smart was a Civil War veteran. He was a widow when his wife, Mrs. Dobbs, died in childbirth with her sixth child. And so Mrs. Smart was left to raise the newborn and his five children by himself in a rural farm in eastern Washington State. It was after Mrs. Dobbs became adult that she realized the strength and the selfishness that her father had shown in raising the children as a single parent. So the first day, Father's Day, was observed on June 19, 1910 in Spokane, Washington. At about that same time, in various towns and cities across America, other people began to celebrate Father's Day. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge supported the idea of a national Father's Day, but it was finally brought into law in 1966 when President Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as a Father's Day. That was about 51 years ago, and since that time, this has been the day that Father's Day was given to honor fathers. But in our particular day now, this also is a day to honor those who act as father figures, stepfathers, uncles, grandfathers, adults, maid, friends, and so forth, because there's turmoil of our particular day is the fact that a lot of children don't have a regular dad because of homes destroying up and so forth, and so there's others who takes that particular place. But look at me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse 5, and we're going to go through 13. But notice verse 5, and Jesus is speaking, he said this, and notice he said that when you pray, now again, and when thou prayest, notice the word thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, and he said, they have their reward. But watch this, but thou. Now these verses are talking in a singles prayer. It's a private prayer. The first down to verse 7. Notice the term. There's a time we have private prayer. And he said, and thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not therefore like unto them. Why? For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. I believe that, don't you, folks? I mean, he said, even though you pray. Now, I don't. If we say, well, why should I pray if God already knows about my Father? Well, he tells us to. But he wants us to know that even before we ask, watch out. I know what you stand in need of, and therefore I, as a father, want to grant that need, not your greed or your personal things at times, though I will bless you if you follow my commandments and follow my word. And then he says what? He leaves the private prayer, and he goes into public prayer. Because the terminology has changed. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Watch. Give us, there is the plural. Notice again, this day, our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Notice verse 5 through 7, he has a private prayer, thou, individually. And then we see, he talks about this, what we look at as an example of prayer in verse 9 to 13, is a public prayer, as is prayed in midst of other saints of God, and you pray on behalf of all the saints of God by using the plural pronouns. Now, I want to look at verse 9, because it's after this manner, therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then that topic of my message is our Father which art in heaven. Now, ladies and gentlemen, being a father is much more than performing a biological function. And you can put in the blank at that. Being a father is about loving and caring and guiding and sharing truth with your children to grow up and set the example for, hopefully, in turn that would please God and they may see God in the Father. It's been said that most any male can produce a child, but it takes a special man to be a father. And I believe that's absolute truth. And father is the head of his family. He does this not out of insecurity, not out of selfishness or pride, but out of the desire to be obedient servant to God. And we see that servant is give a little bit as you look in Ephesians with me, if you want to turn there just a moment. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Bible teaches us, says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body. And then verse 25, I, husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for us. Now, if you are married and have a wife, you and I cannot get out of that indictment. God has set that as a law, just as much so as one of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament about a relationship between a husband and a wife. A father also needs to offer wise counsel so that he may lead his children in paths of righteousness. If you look in chapter 6, verse 4, he says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children. That means don't do that which isn't to bring anger and rage to provoke a child into something, but bring them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So a father is a strong, reliable, confident person, but he also should be tender and loving and understanding. A father is one that is a good provider, willing to labor hard to provide shelter and food for his family. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said that if any would not work, neither let them, notice he said, neither should he eat. So I want to go back now, and when I think about what our standard is as a father, where we get our information? We don't get it from each other unless they get it from God. Let me just tell you this morning, God's the expert of what a home should be. Amen. And he gives us information in his word. And so whether it be a father, a mother, or a child, or anyone, you'll find information in this book that God gives us that works when it comes to our relationship to him, helps us relate to each other. But I have 4 points quick I want to go through. Our Father, which are in heaven. I want to look at this prayer and look at this statement that he says here. Today, let's focus on the phrase where first of all, our Father, which are in heaven. Before Jesus Christ came, it's hard to get some people to understand this, but before Jesus Christ came, God was not addressed as Father in relationships in the Old Testament. He was addressed as God, and when God spoke and when law was enforced, It was automatically. There was no much grace. You don't see a lot of grace in the Old Testament, though there's grace there, like you see, but there's more grace in the New Testament. If not, many of us have already been dead. I mean, in the Old Testament, there were certain things God let for a period of time, but if a person kept doing it, then he just went ahead and separated from this life in that particular time. What a revelation about prayer to our Heavenly Father. When we pray this prayer, we confess who He is that hears our prayer. Our Heavenly Father. When I'm by myself praying, my Heavenly Father. And I'm glad that, folks, I'm glad that God can be a Father to us all and individually be my Heavenly Father. But as we are here together, the prayer is our Heavenly Father. Because everyone here, as you hear someone pray, ought to be in agreement with that prayer if our life is where it ought to be and if that prayer is Bible. Amen. Amen. Now you say amen. Amen. If you want to say all me, it don't matter. Just let me hear it. Because I tell you, this would be a blessing instead of something that hurts us. We'll listen this morning to God's holy word. Note the little word our there, O-U-R. Just three letters. But that's a powerful word when it comes to this thing of prayer. Jesus is teaching us that God is not an idea. God is not a principle or a theory. This word, our, does not fit in God being just an idea or a principle or a theory. We have our ideas or principles or theories, and in some way, they are ours. But we do not have deep personal relationships with our ideas or our theories or our principles. They're part of us, but you know, I don't ever, you know, say, you know, I've just got a real great relationship with my ideas. No, they're ideas. They're my head. But when I think about God, I'm glad to say we can have an intimate relationship with Him. Amen. We can have a personal relationship with Him. And He's more than a principle, an idea, or these type of things. We can have our ideas and principles or theories in some way. They are ours, but we do not have deep personal relations with them. Our Father, which are in heaven, He can become a deep personal relationship with you and I. And by the way, He does that. How? By giving us the Holy Spirit of God. He gives us the Holy Spirit. Did you know the fact that Jesus said, I never leave thee, forsake thee, is the fact you have the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in us. Jesus went back to be with the Father in a human body. Before, he was just like, and God in the Spirit. But now Jesus at the right hand of God making intercession to us, and He's in a glorified body. That is, He can be located where He's only at like He was here on this earth. So He gives us the Holy Spirit. To live in us, to be, by the way, isn't it an amazing thing? There's 7 billion people on the face of the earth. If all 7 billion people were saved, all 7 billion people would have the Holy Spirit living in them. But Jesus Himself was not able to do that because He's in a body. Now, before He came, He could have, but we're going to see Him. Think about it, in heaven, at the time will come, when we see Christ, He's always going to be in a glorified body, and our body is going to be fashioned like His body. We're going to see Him, and it's going to reflect, no doubt, glorious light. So in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, He said, Our Father which is in heaven. When I see this, I understand. This phrase expresses intimacy. This phrase expresses tenderness when He talks about that. I want to tell you something. A father who's right with God will have the tough hand that's needed to raise a child, but he'll have a tender hand also to undergird that. It's like preaching this Bible. You can't preach this Bible without preaching the wrath of God. But I'm glad, I'm so glad that many times when I have to preach on the wrath of God, I can undergird that with the grace of God. Amen. And the grace of God can soften that if a person will trust Christ as their personal Savior and know what it is to be born into the family of God. So not that God is our own possession. That's not it. Our Father, He's not our possession. He lives in us. God is not a cosmic candy store, as so many try to make Him. He's not a celestial snow globe or a spiritual artesian well to satisfy our greed. He said He would supply our need. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't belong to us. We belong to Him. You say, well, not me, preacher. Well, you're not saved then. And one day He's going to disperse those who are not saved. If you're saved, you're bought with a price. He paid the ultimate price that you and I might be children of God. And bought with a price. The fact that I belong to God through Jesus Christ assures me of eternal life. It's a birth. This world's got it mixed up. A lot of people think it's like a cloak of religion. Just put it on, you take it off. And if you've got religion, you can put it on, take it off anytime you want to. But if you genuinely get born again, there's the Holy Spirit living in you. That's the word of God that God put you to. And I'll tell you, the worst place in the world that you find a child of God is out of fellowship with God, because God won't let up until they get back in fellowship. And sometimes it may be when they get to glory. And so I understand that he makes me willing and ready from now on to serve him and live for him. So my comfort in life and in death is that I belong to God through Jesus Christ. I am not my own. I've been paid for a price. God has a right to demand anything he wants to on me. By the way, he does you too. Well, not me, preacher. You might as well hang it up then. You better check where you're saved or not. Would you buy something, pay for it, if it didn't belong to you? Jesus Christ paid the ultimate debt that we might be born into the family of God. What a miracle that we could be welcomed into the family of God, into a personal, eternal, invisible, unchangeable, infinite, almighty, completely wise, just, good, overflowing relationship with God the Father. How? Through Jesus Christ. That's the reason we say, without Christ, there's no approaching him. Now, that name is hated in this world. You heard me say hundreds of times, and I've said hundreds more times until God calls me home. But there's no relationship with the God of this Bible, which is the real God, without Jesus Christ. And you can't read it like you should without seeing that, you see. So what a truth, our Father, which art in heaven. But I want you to also know the why is it our, in this case, and not mine? Why did he switch from my, in the sense of the terminology, to ours? Did you know that when you look at Jesus Christ, and I thought about this, when you look at Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 and 42, he called God my Father. My Father, in those verses. If you look in Matthew 27, he called God my God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's personal when you and I have a private relationship and talking to God on a private level. But then when we come as a body of believers, we find ourselves actually looking at him and understanding that he said, our him. This is not an individual's prayer, but it's the church's prayer, as we see down about verse 9 through 13. And of course, there is a private prayer. We see that. And there's a public prayer. The private prayer is simply this, as I pray. You know, it's not my brother, not my sister that stand in need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. And by the way, that's an old spiritual song, but it has a lot of sense to it. Both of these prayers should be made unto God at the proper time and at the proper time, because they're both in the scriptures, and Jesus is the one who teaches this. These people that Jesus is talking about pray for men to hear them, he said in the verse few. All they do is get up, and their words is not for God, but audience. In turn, and he tells about that in verse 5 down through verse 7. So he's talking about here praying for men to hear them, to be seen of men and having some kind of mandate upon what God can do for them, but it's in pride. In verse 5, he sets that off as he says to this, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, as they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may seem a man. Verily I say unto you, they shall lose their reward. And keep in mind, many years ago, this used to be said a lot of times in college when you talk about something like that. They say that you to keep in mind that one should catch up on their prayer while they're in the closet, not while they're in public. Amen. You understand what they're saying? That simply said this. A lot of times, if you're not careful, we pray for the audience more so than to God. And when we do that, we need to keep in mind. Keep in mind also that a read prayer, and here's the thing, and you may not understand this, but believe me, it's so. I tried both ways. A read prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is addressed to the audience most of the time more so than God. Why? Because we want to say everything just right. Now, there's nothing wrong to have a prayer request and read from. And most of you find in big places when people pray, it's typed out, looked at, punctuated, and everything. But did you know prayer is not something that I beforehand, I may make out a prayer list what I'm praying about, but when I pray, I need to pray from my heart, not from a piece of paper. Yeah. Now, folks, this world don't understand that. And they think, well, that's me. You know, your prayer's not going to be much. If it, God hears that, all the matter anyhow. And if God says it's okay, if it comes out, any prayer that comes from the heart is much better than a professional prayer on paper. God help us to see that. And so here, we began to look at, sure, we pray alone, but this prayer is one of that has deepest meaning when it's honest expression of God's people together. We cannot be privately attentive to God while we're personally inattentive to the people of God. So notice he said, it's our hear prayer when we're collected together. And by the way, Dad, your children need to hear you pray. I think the very same, Barbara, at times she got saved after we got married, though she was a church member, and I think, and she's listening right now, I think about the first time we started to pray together, it kind of intimidated. I would wonder if I was a head of the house, am I going to say the right thing? And she wondered, as a wife, submitted, would she say the right thing? And it was a period of time there before we got comfortable in just praying. You said, I don't know about that. Well, you would not pray like you should pray then, because I want you to know, you learn to pray together to what God lays on your heart, and when you do that, it's accepted. Either one of you should pray. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing of prayer is a precious tool we have. Did you know most of the time we don't pray in agony unless we have a desperate need? Most of the time it's like table grace. I'm guilty. Sometimes I say it because it's a formality. Sometimes we'll be somewhere eating. I'll begin to say the prayer, and suddenly I'll say, amen, thank you, Lord, amen. And then suddenly I'll say, wait a minute. Sometimes do it over so it becomes more than a formality. When we thank God for something, we ought to mean it, folks. It ought not be just a routine. It only comes from the heart. And therefore, it will help us as individuals if we do that. So we notice it's ours. Now, I want you to know the second word in this particular phrase also is Father. Our Father. Isn't that wonderful? Someone listening on the radio, you string, you know, in here, some bus kid, they may not realize they have a father in Jesus Christ. You can have the greatest father. And sometimes dads are not what they want to be. Sometimes dads are drunks and other things that goes on. They didn't start out that way. They got caught in a trap and they neglect the things that they should do as far as their duty is concerned. But I want you to know our Heavenly Father will never neglect his duty. He's our Father, and we thank God to know him. And so Jesus Frazier addressed God as his Heavenly Father. Now, notice, if you will, as we see, Jesus teaches us that the born-again child of God is also God's child, which makes God our Heavenly Father. Now, this is not a matter of biology. God is not genetically our Father, but he is spiritually. Now, with Jesus, he genetically helped that by being given the seed in Mary's womb. But for us, it came the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. And he recessed in good ground, according to Matthew, and spiritual conception came when we caught out and said, God, have mercy on me and save my soul. And if you're saved, put down the date. September 27, 1959, I was born into the family of God. And from that day until God gets me home out of this life, I'm in a prenatal period. I'm developing, just like a baby in a womb before nine months is over with. I'm developing, and so are you. If you've been saved a period of time, you're in a prenatal period to get us home. You know, the final deliverance at the end, the rapture, even though we may go through the exodus of death. That's our final day here. It won't happen much there other than just be in the presence of God until every saint gets there in the rapture at the end. So this is not a matter of biology. God is not genetically our Father. Now, there are stories of mythology that tell about heavenly and earthly beings that have been involved with each other, but they're just stories. Jesus taught us that we are related to God through spiritual birth and the adoption process. And we find that in Galatians and other places. So as we pray our Father, we take comfort to show our desire to be in a relationship with, listen to me, you heard me talk about all these things tied together. Our Father shows that we have the relationship with the self-existent God. Amen. That means it's forever. You don't have to worry about after this life is something going to change it. You don't have to worry when he gets us home if something's going to change it. And if you're truly birthed here, you don't have to worry about it changing now. But I'll tell you one thing, you better watch what you do and say and how you live. Because one day we're going to stand before God and get a credit for that. And it's sad. You don't hear much about that today. Why, everybody's saved going to heaven. I've got news for you. Everybody's not saved going to heaven. You got to be born again to be saved. And it's more than just words. It's a process, a birth that God tells that we have in this life. Now, our and then our Father. The third thing I want you to note, the third part of this continues with a location. Isn't that amazing? Our personally Father were in heaven. in heaven. That's the home. That's where he's from. This location is heaven. God the Father, to whom we pray, has his distinct and proper home there in heaven. In heaven is where God the Father resides. It's the place of everlasting authority and power. It's the place where he wants us with him more than we want to be there sometimes. This is where truth and beauty have their origin, and they never diminish. God the Father in heaven is not an absentee parent from the rest of the universe. God in heaven, so would that be the case? He's in heaven and we're on this earth, he's absentee. No, he's not. You can mark it down. It shows us where he's at and where he works from, but it also lets us know that God, who is our Father, is omnipresent. He's as much so in the universe as he is in heaven. He's as much in this earth by his presence in this earth, but it's seen and through the Holy Spirit that God is using in his people to manifest to this world who the true and living God is. And he's telling us day by day, God is the Father in heaven. We do not pray our Father which are in heaven because God the Father is at a distance from us, but because God is present in a way that is far greater than any earthly father or mother could ever be with a physical body. This is why the Holy Spirit lives in us. Amazing thing about it. A mother and dad could forsake us. But he said, I'll never do it. If you're mine, bought and paid for, and you receive me as I paid the price, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's very clear. God himself, though he's omnipresent, God himself can cross the divide at his will. And he did so decisively when taking a human flesh in Jesus Christ bearing the sins of human beings. Our Father in heaven makes it very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that he is not subject to corruption. He is not subject to change. He's not at the risk of disappointment or defeat. I don't care how much Satan seems to have a toehold, he can never defeat God, his Son, nor the Holy Spirit. Greater is he than us, and he's in the world. He is not dominated by earthly concepts. He's not dominated by worldly desires. Every desire he has will be that which in turn functions within the Godhead. So the question we have as I think about this prayer and use our Father which are in heaven as a pattern to look at, though he is a pattern not so much that we can be like him in the flesh completely until we get the glorified body, but he gives us the instructions what we need to please him. And you know what? Did you know that God knew that his Son pleased him? You know why God said a couple number of times in the scriptures, my blessed Son, whom I am well pleased with? Because he was given the identity of Christ, that what Christ did, they could see his works pleased him. God knew that Jesus pleased him all the time. Amen? He knew that. Why would he say it then? Because they didn't know it. And they had to see what Christ was doing, though they rejected it and put him to the cross. Everything he did pleased the Father. And they could see those works, and yet at the same time, refuse the voice that he said and refuse the life that Jesus had and would not receive him as their personal Savior. So do we pray to the one true God who dwells in heaven, or do we pray to a God of human expectation and worldly ideas, the cosmic candy store, the provider of spiritual greed? I'm afraid that in America, of all places on this earth, it's very easy to sometimes have spiritual greed. No matter where we at, we want more. And that's all of us. You can't find anybody who has anything won't want more before it's over with. But God gives the guidelines to help us curb that to some degree in this life. And so may God, the Holy Spirit, help us to pray to our Heavenly Father, who cannot be fitted into our confining categories and selfish ideas. He said he knows what we need. Now, I can pray for a need, and I'd say, Lord, this is a need. But I have to realize in my mind, wait a minute. If this need, and I know that I have this need, God knows where's the need or not. God knows. Well, I sure like to have, I think it's a need. God knows where it's a need or not. And I'll tell you this, God is not going to keep from us those things we need in the long run. I believe that. But at the other hand, you have to realize. That's the reason I've said so many times in the last 8 months, I'm glad God gave me Romans 8:28. all things work together for good to them who love God and called to His purpose. Because I'm going to tell you some things that we've been through. Now, I'm personally myself been through that didn't seem to be good to me. And I don't understand it. Because I've done my best to serve God. But I'll tell you this, that verse tells me that that's all I can cling to because it's a promise of God until I get home where He can explain it where I can really understand it. If God would explain some things to us now, you and I wouldn't understand what I mind. Because we're geared to fact this, if just like the world thinks about God. God's a God who loves everybody and wants everybody to have anything. And if you just name and claim it, you can have it. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been saved by the long. You know you can't name and claim everything and have it. And I guarantee you some of these people say they do it, done some claim, name and claim didn't have it. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't claim it and ask God to help us in those things that He said that we should do in this life. So Dad, let me remind us all what God Almighty said in 1 John 4 in verse 8. May the prayer be made in the name and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit gave John in 1 John 4 verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Isn't it an amazing thing? God said, "Husband, love your wives." He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He says, "Wives, submit to your husband in a godly way, not ungodly way." God gives us instructions. We're not owners. I don't own my wife. She don't own me. We're free agents in the Lord. She's a Trinity like I am. She has a soul, spirit, and body, or spirit, soul, and body, the way the Bible puts it. But in our function, it's different. She was saved like I was. I got saved like she did. But there's no difference in the way we're saved. Take the same amount of grace to save me as it did her. Take the same amount of grace to save her as it did me. All of that's the same level. But when it comes to us being before God, there's a function that God says will work in that wonderful arena called the home when vows are made before Him. And so He talked about love. And Sister Joyce said this morning. I had in my notes, I don't know where I got this written ever years ago, but I had written this down. Is that simply the most important thing that a father can do for his children is to show that he loves God first and their mother second. If I don't love God first, I'll never know how to love my wife. Because God is love. You're looking at one who is not love, but he loves to learn how to love. I love love, but I am not love. I know what I'm saying. You don't, but I know what I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a real thing. This thing, we can claim a lot of things. But when you add up with the Bible, you will always come short. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad to have the grace of God? Aren't you glad you can have forgiveness of sin when you come to life in this life? And so every family has conflict, and conflicts never go by rules. To show love in a conflict reduces the conflict, but you can't have love one way. Because then it comes, if you really have it one way and one rejects it, then it becomes agape love. And none of us have got to that place to have that kind of love. That's what God has towards us. So my prayer is my Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Father to pray together. Please help us increase our love for our families. For you said, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You don't believe it? Read 1 John chapter 4, the latter part of verse 7 and all of verse 8. I thank God for my mother and father. Someone even said here, I think, this morning, that if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. Did you know the genetic process between my mother and dad, if they had not been here, my genetic process would have never been. That's all there is to it. Well, somebody else could. No. You miss it. See, God set up this program. He set it up so there'd be a great thing of creation in procreation, that when He brings two people together, where it's in holy matrimony or where two people come together in sin, when that process takes place, ladies and gentlemen, that child is born and there's never another one just like it. And therefore, if my mother and dad hadn't come together like they had, Ennis would never been born. I'm glad that they came together. And I'm glad that in the early days, before they were both saved, that God kept them together somehow. Now, I'm amazed how He did, but He did keep them together. In the latter periods of our life, they had a wonderful marriage, a wonderful love for each other in ways that was manifest that you didn't see a lot of times when you're at home. I wouldn't have been here, but I want you to know I thank God for being my Heavenly Father, for he had taught me more about living a life in flesh than my earthly father did. And I've learned so many things since I've saved that if I'd known before I was saved, I'd save myself a lot of trouble. I'm honest. Maybe you look in the mirror. Sometimes you get before God and look in the mirror and just talk to him and nobody else will listen and just talk to the Lord and have the Bible and say, in case he brings some verses to you, to realize God is concerned about our folks. He loves us and he's concerned about us, but he's not going to play with us. He's God and we're not. And we have to say, Lord, please give us understanding. God the Father thinks of us, loves us, cares for us, works for us, provides for us. And that's the same thing he set forth that dads should be, fathers. Care for the family, love their family, care for the family, think of the family, work for the family, provide for the family. There's time my prayer is my Heavenly Father. There's time that when I pray that, I'll pray to God and talk to him about that. You would never hear me pray in a public prayer, and same with you. But I'm glad that when we come together, and when Brother Money or Brother Keith or I or someone calls someone else to pray, then when we come together, folks, listen, here's how important it is. When that person leads us to the throne of grace as a group, every heart here ought to be in prayer sanctioned with that prayer. It ought not just be one prayer going up for us, though that is the center part. But it ought to be everyone here would be listening and praying and say, yes, Lord, God, do this, because we're praying as a body of believers. And I'll tell you, that listen, one person is not as strong as many. I found that out years ago. And Satan's a powerful being. And sometimes he may defeat us in our private prayer lives because something don't happen just like it is, like we prayed for. But on the other hand, when we pray together, Satan has a hard time defeating us in anything. Because we're bound together, submitting to God and resisting him. And that's why prayer is so important. We pray here a lot. And when we ask for prayer, it ought to be when we ask for prayer that everybody here at certain times pray about certain things. You don't have to pray every minute of the day, but it ought to be when you pray, you remember God to help you remember that prayer. Because it's the body of believers now, as Jesus talks about, that prays together and lifts their heart to God. And I believe with all my heart, it's a sweet favor to God when he hears those prayers. And I know this, he's promised every tear one day he's going to take note of. And if I shed tears now, I believe with all my heart, our Heavenly Father is the one that can help us in anything we're in, and I believe he gives an example if we'll listen to what he says about the home. See, he set up the home, first of all. And I believe he gives us that in the home. Then you have two parties, got to be one. It's hard. If that happens, then there can be love one-sided, but it doesn't hold things. What I'm saying to you, though, God has given us the principle that when we pray this prayer, our Father, which are in heaven, it gives us some ideas about life. I have my private prayer to him, and I can say, my God, my Father. And that separates me from rest right that moment. But when I come together like this, it's our Father. Now, it might be sometimes we pray, my Father, help me be what I need to be as we pray together. There's nothing wrong with that type of prayer. But I'm telling you, God wants us to understand. He instructs us. And what we do will be the means of blessing individual, home, church, whatever. If you're here in this morning, you're not saved. Jesus Christ is still the answer. There is no hope without him. When you listen to Ustream or radio, there's no hope without him. I'm telling you, this world says will mock us and laugh and talk about it and gang together and gets against us and they have their cloak on and all of them got different cloaks of religion on. Don't matter because they're going to agree with each other to some point. But when you mention Jesus Christ, that shatters all their dreams. And Satan is a wounded animal when that happens and he attacks us. And the end of the age, as man waxed worse and worse, it's going to take. There's coming a day before long that God's going to say to his son that's sitting beside him in our so understanding, my people are suffering enough. I've given this world enough time to believe the record that I gave of my son. I gave an inspired book. I gave the Holy Spirit of God. Son, go get the bride. And it's going to happen. Amen. Stand to your feet, Father in heaven. We thank you so much, Lord, for the family. We are family here. We are saved. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's been spiritual conception, the incorruptible word. And Lord, we're in a prenatal period until we get home. Develop it now in the things of God, using the talents you give us, instructions you give us, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord as we keep the alignment of the spirit, the soul, and body before you in a way that we can hear from the very throne of God through the precious word of God. And dear Father, I pray today, if someone's listening, they'd realize there is no hope in this world without Jesus Christ. And I know that when I say that, there'll be people who get upset because they think they can have an advantage on God and not even have to come through Christ. That's just another way of religion. But Lord, you gave us this book. And one thing, I may be wrong in some things of studying, but I know this, when it comes to Christ and who he is and what he's done for us, the church is not wrong on that. We believe that because we've been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, help us exalt him as we do that, to bring glory and honor to you and yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Please let someone know Jesus as Savior today. Some dad may not be saved. Listen, their father realized they tried a lot of things that didn't work. Why not come before God, trust him, then say, God, help me be a dad that'd be pleased to my family. Because the odds are the kids in the home are not going to be there just a period of time. Then they're going to have their own home to start. And they leave the nest. When they leave the nest, it's a hard thing to bear, Lord, sometimes, because when families are close. But we know this. Every child that's born to a family is born to start one day their own family, as they are trained from the time they're born until the time they have a marriage ceremony before God. Lord, if you don't honor your word, then we can't. We can be true to it, but we cannot be where you're at to honor it. We do our best to stand by it, but I pray you take what's been said and bless someone today who will say for one time, Lord, I want to know where I stand. I know I'm saved, but I want to know where I stand in my home. I want to know where I stand before you, and I want you to be more than an ideology or principle or something that's in my mind. I want to see who you really are. Thank you for letting me address you as my Father. Thank you for letting us as a church to address you as our Heavenly Father, the God who is the self-existent one. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.